This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. The White House ousts Jeff Sessions a day after the midterm elections. He is replaced by one of Sessions' underlings. Matt Whitaker has said publicly that he would limit the Mueller probe. Will he get the chance? Sessions wasn't the only one ousted this week. CNN reporter Jim Acosta's White House press pass was suspended as Trump's war with the press continues. And voters send mixed messages at the polls this election season. The message still unclear in Florida and Georgia as some key races are either too close to call or headed for a possible recount. Here to break it down, that and more, the political junkie Ken Rudin. Hello, Ken.
Hello, Frank. What a week.
What does it say about a country where liberals are quietly, perhaps under their breath, saying they miss Jeff Sessions? Where have we come that liberals are now saying, perhaps to themselves,
they miss George W. Bush? I mean, it's kind of remarkable. You never know how good you have it until you lose it. But Jeff Sessions, for whatever you think about Jeff Sessions, and of course he was the first senator to back Donald Trump's campaign, presidential campaign in 2015. But the fact is, by taking himself out of the running, by recusing himself from the investigation about possible Russian collusion, it was his recusal that had the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, pick somebody by the name of Robert Mueller to investigate the president. So Trump has always resented Jeff Sessions for that reason. And so lo and behold, to no one's surprise, one day or maybe 1 minute after the elections were over on Tuesday, Jeff Sessions was ousted as Attorney General.
Yeah, what does it say about the timing? Will it? I mean, it is transparent that Donald Trump is obviously very worried about what Mueller has on him, about possible collusion with a foreign power on stealing an election. This could be very serious charges. And when the House is now in a position to impeach, seconds after that happens, he says, okay, we've got to really shore up the Justice Department.
Well, I think there's an actual relationship between the fact that the House has won control of the House. They'll take over on January 3rd, and yes, they will now have the power of investigations and subpoena. Obviously, Devin Nunes and the Republicans who were in charge of the Intelligence Committee and all that had no business, no interest in investigating what Trump or his cabinet or his administration was up to. So, you know, once we know that the Democrats now have this investigative power, maybe it was a moment of panic, and not only is Sessions gone, but Matt Whitaker, who is not, I mean, of course, he is Sessions' chief of staff, and it was interesting that he didn't pick the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, to be the acting Attorney General. He picked an ideologue named Matt Whitaker, who has been a long critic of the Supreme Court, who's been a long critic of the Mueller investigation. He's called it, you know, a witch hunt, and all the things that Trump has said. So Whitaker is on exactly the same page as President Trump. But what's interesting is that sir, there are so many people who said this appointment is illegal and unconstitutional. Among them, Kellyanne Conway's husband, George Conway, who had this amazing op-ed in today's New York Times that said, look, anything Whitaker does is invalid because it's an illegal nomination. Now, of course, this will be battles between the Democrats and the White House, and perhaps it will go to the courts. But this is not a slam dunk, as President Trump thought, by just naming Matt Whitaker. He might as well name Sean Hannity, for that matter, because you know, if he feels that he has a chance for an interim appointment, he might as well name anybody he could, and Matt Whitaker fit that bill.
Well, I guess in that the legality of this is interesting, because I do think there's a chance to make a temporary appointment, but then the ultimate attorney general would have to be approved by the U.S. Senate. So that is a question. How long is temporary might be kind of the issue. Whitaker himself, not only, it's interesting because also in today's New York Times is a report that suggests that Whitaker could not possibly get confirmation. He was actually on the board, an advisory board of a Florida company that a federal judge shut down and fined $26 million. Not only was Whitaker on the board, but the CEO of that company used Whitaker's name to threaten consumers who were suing the company. All of that would be in the press. Hard to know how he might make it through the confirmation.
Well, of course, if they had a confirmation now, it would be the current Senate, which is 51-49 Republican. Of course, the Republicans did gain two or three more seats in the Tuesday elections, but that doesn't change until January. So if there's a confirmation vote now, you wonder if those so-called courageous Republicans like Jeff Sessions and Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski will say, hey, you know, this is just fine with us. I mean, I think I always have more faith in them than they prove, but my goodness, if this went to a vote, it would be very interesting to see, given all the, I mean, my God, the vetting process in the White House is just remarkable, but I'd love to see what the Senate vote would be on a confirmation of Matt Whitaker.
But he doesn't have to be Whitaker. He's got other friends, Rudolph Giuliani, Chris Christie, all kinds of people who just might make it through the confirmation process. Lindsey Graham, who's,
I mean, that was a rumor from the beginning. They fire Sessions, they name Lindsey Graham, they appoint Nikki Haley to fill the Senate seat. I mean, that process was already, you know, written out in the up in the press weeks ago. And of course, Lindsey Graham, who says he doesn't want it, but the fact is, would Lindsey Graham be confirmed by the Senate? One would think yes. You know, unless you're John Tower in 1989, it's very rare that a former colleague gets not confirmed by the Senate.
I am talking to the political junkie today on the State of Things. Hey, let's talk about CNN White House course. Talk about ejections and firings. The White House fired Jim Acosta, who works for CNN.
Yes. I mean, look, not everybody loves Jim Acosta, and that includes many in the press. They see him as a showboater or a grandstanding, but he's also an aggressive reporter who demands questions from an administration that is very sparse with questions. But that press conference on Wednesday, my goodness, I just could not believe what I was watching and what I was listening to. Whatever you think of Acosta, again, he shows open disdain toward the administration, and perhaps he shows what a lot of reporters wouldn't dare express. But the response from the White House, the sit down and shut up, the fact what Donald Trump does with black reporters about, oh, it's a racist question, or if April Ryan, an African-American correspondent for the American Urban Networks, asked a question, he just shut up, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down. And then, oh, my God, I can't sit still on this one. And then the president goes on this rant about these ungrateful Republicans who deserve to lose, the Barbara Comstocks and the Mike Kaufman of Colorado and Peter Roskam of Illinois, others, because they didn't embrace me. Goodbye, so long, Mike. Mia Love didn't show me love. He listed all the Republicans who lost with glee. This raises
a serious question that I've had for a long time. I used to raise this at NPR, and because when we were there together, I would raise this question to be shouted down regularly. Why do we have White House reporters? I mean, I think there should be some kind of
White House
reporters. This is all a kind of theater that is, especially with a president like Donald Trump, who thrives on absolutely any kind of chaos. This plays right into their hands. They rarely, and they have for decades, not told the truth necessarily out of that particular venue. There's a lot of reporting that can be done around the country, and those reporters could be very valuable actually reporting on the outcomes of some of these policies instead of dutifully spitting out the same things that they're telling us day after day and dutifully recording and reporting to the American people what they are saying about the world instead of reporting on what's happening.
Well, there's absolute truth there. And we know that presidents, this will come as a shock to many people, but presidents have lied in the past. Nixon lied, Bush lied, Clinton lied, Obama lied. They they don't always tell the truth, and they certainly, their press secretaries don't often tell the truth. But to see the absolute contempt, and I'm not saying the press is angelic in this process, but the fact that that Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Sean Spicer before that, the outward, unbelievably untruths that come out of that, I don't know why that the reporters just look. It's easy for me to say this because I'm sitting here in my pajamas, my feet pajamas, in my house talking to you. But I mean, if I were there, just walk out. How do you take this kind of?
I say the press should boycott the White House. There's plenty of ways to cover that. Plenty of ways to get sources, and just don't hang out in there. This is their home game. You're playing their game. Go somewhere else. Go somewhere else and really report on what's happening. Have sources, talk to people, find them out, but to report on that theater and show that thing every day, I think is an actual disgrace and a disservice to the American public.
I agree with you, too, and I am not in pajamas. I just want to talk
okay, good.
About that.
Quickly now, governors, Florida and Georgia still in the air.
And so is the Arizona Senate race. But, yes, I mean, look, you know, we talk about it was a good night for the Democrats, and it certainly was in the House. But the three top races that everybody was watching, Beto O'Rourke for the Senate in Texas, Stacey Abrams in Georgia, the governor's race in Florida, all went, or at least always the Republicans are leading, but they're not over yet. Stacey Abrams is still insisting there's thousands and thousands of votes that have not been counted in Georgia. The Senate race in Florida is going to a recount. I don't know if you ever remember, but I think there was a recount in Florida years ago. I can't remember.
Oh, yes. How did that come out?
Yeah. And so those are not over yet. But so was it a great night for the Democrats? Well, I think it was really a mixed bag. I think both parties have a lot to claim and be proud of. But at the same time, it's not over yet.
It's not over.
Also, in the Arizona Senate race as well.
What's past is prologue, and we will be looking forward to the outcome of this for at least the next 2 years. Political junkie Ken Rudin, thanks so much.
Thank you, Frank, and now calm down now.
Just ahead.
No, he won't.
It'll be the same next week. Nine scientists working to solve the mysteries of time. Listen to this. It's very cool. Nine scientists, very different disciplines. They all get together in a Netflix documentary to talk over the absolute joy of inquiry, whether you find out anything or not. And you'll hear about that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.